Boker Tov World. Today's daf in Masechet Nazir, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Beis, and we are holding at the Halak and Mishnah on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis at the bottom, because I think it would be good for us to do a brief review, even though we did this Mishnah yesterday. But let's run over it one more time. Misha Nadar Ben Azir. So somebody thought that his neder was not a real neder and that he had made a mistake in how he made his nazirus. Then he bumps in some days later to the Talmud Chacham and he asks him, you know, I made a neder like this. I'm sure that's not a real neder, right? He says, no, that's a real neder. And you should have been keeping it. Oh, my God. Anyway, so it turns out that he had been over the whole time. Nonetheless, it still was able to count as nazirus starting from the time that he had made that neder, even though he didn't keep it. Now, as we spoke about yesterday, it's not necessarily that this is the way that we're going to end up understanding the Mishnah, and in fact, the Mishnah might mean that he has to keep the days from the time that he was nadar till the time that he found out, but we'll see. But the pashtus of the Mishnah is, of course, that he can count his nazirus despite the fact that he had not been keeping it. Now, how about vice versa? How about he'd been keeping his nazirus, and he bumps into this Talmud Chacham, and he says, oh, you know, I'm finished my nazirus now. Oh, really? How did you make the nazirus? And the Chacham says, that wasn't a nazirus. You've been wasting your time. So this is not really Heter Chacham, because even according to Beit Shammai, remember, Beit Shammai holds that you can't be Mater on the basis of a Ta'ut, but, I mean, if you didn't use the right lotion, it's obviously not a Nazirus. So what happens if he already had set aside his Behemot? Hatalo Behemah Mufreshet, Teitzei V'Terai Beheder. So it's no longer Kodesh. The whole thing was a Nazirus that didn't exist. You can't create a carbon of Nazirus when you're not a Nazir. So this doesn't have anything to do with the question of Hegdish B'Ta'ut, according to Beit Shammai. It's simply, there's no way to make something a Nazirus. The whole thing is just up in the air. So Beit Hillel says to Beit Shammai, well, but you admit the fact that this is a Hegdish Ta'ut, where a guy tried to make a carbon, he had made the carbon, and now you're going to say that it should be Teitzei V'Tirei Beheder, and now it's Chulin. So in other words, you admit, Beit Shammai, that Hegdish Ta'ut is actually not Hegdish. Amrulayim Beit Shammai, wait a minute. I mean, obviously we know that it's not the same case as we were going to discuss, but remember, as we saw yesterday in the Gemara, which brought this mission and explained it to us, that basically Beit Shammai plays along with Beit Hillel and says to Beit Hillel, well, how are you even discussing an issue which is a beferish of pasuk? The Torah says that Hegdish Ta'ut is Ta'ut. I'll prove it to you. Iyatem odim b'misha ta'avik arala tashi'i asiri ulasa asiri tashi'i. And the halacha is that it, all of the achadas are asiri, all of them are mekudash, right? We learned that out of a pasuk, kol asher yavor tachat hashevet, so that when you're taking off maaser, if you made a mistake, you call number 9, number 10, and then you say, oh, whoops, so I guess this number 10 is number 9, and then you remember, oh, number 9, so then the next one is number 10. This is a confused heck of a guy, sounds like me. But anyway, he ends up with three korbanas that are all kodesh b'kedushas maaser. Well, it was a mistake. He certainly didn't want to give more than one of his behemoths to maaser. So, you see that Hegdish Ta'ut is Ta'ut. So, what are you arguing about? Amrulahem Beit Hillel, of course, this has nothing to do with it. I don't know, what do you think? You think Heshevet Kidsho? What do you think his paintbrush over there was the thing that made the animal Kodesh? And what if he had decided by mistake to call number 8 number 10, you know? And then he got confused and he called number 12 number 10? I mean, are you going to tell me that there also is going to be Kodesh? So maybe his magic wand paintbrush? I mean, this is like what makes things Kodesh? Of course not. So it isn't the fact that he made that mistake and used his magic paintbrush or his rod It's the fact that the Torah made it Kodesh. HaKatuv Shekidesh Asiri Hu Kidesh HaTashihi. The Pasuk went out of its way to say, Kol HaShe Yavor Tachat HaShever, which allowed us to add one in both directions, HaTashihi, and one later, which is number 11. But this has nothing to do with using this as a basis to say HaKadosh Ta'ut is HaKadosh. Now, what we want to do today is to focus on the implication of the Mishnah. I forgot to turn the recording here. Focus on the din in the Mishnah that said that if you made a mistake and you thought it wasn't an Aziris, but it really was an Aziris, that then you can count the time from the beginning of the Aziris. But that isn't really true. Money matnitin. So I understand who is the Tana that holds that. No one that I know of. Lo Rebbe Yossi v'lo Rabbanan. The Tanya. In the Braita, we found that there is a machlokas about Mishin Adar v'Avar al Nezirato. So somebody makes a neder. He thought that it wasn't a neder, or he was over, whatever the issue is. He was over, he was drinking wine, he was cutting his hair, whatever it is. Then he comes and he says, you know, I made a nazir and naziris, but I want to actually be shoyal on my naziris. So, okay, this guy's a pretty smarty pants, you know, so he's going to do whatever he wants, because one day I'll bump into a Talmud Chacham, a Mumcher, I'll get together three guys, you know, and then I'll retroactively cancel it. So I might as well just enjoy my wine now, you know. So what's the halacha over there? Ein niskakino, absolutely not. We refuse to talk to him, and I don't care what he wants to do. You want to bring your karbonis? We're not accepting your karbonis. You want to be shayla on your naziris? We're not accepting your shayla on the naziris. Unless you do right now, you go out there, and you keep the number of days of the naziris that you were playing tiddlywinks on. You keep those days, and then you can come back to us. And then we can talk about it. But we don't go in for this business of hefkerut. So once you come back and you've done your nazirut properly, you kept the number of days that you were over on, so then we'll talk to you. So Ellen Kane Monebehem, the nazirut, kayamim shenahag behemater. You have to see the same number of days that you were messing up on, you're going to have to make up. Rabbi Yossi says, wait a minute. That's true, but it's true only up to a maximum of 30 days. I mean, if this guy had said, I'm going to be a nazir for 20 years, you know, and he's for the past 10 years, he's been acting without nazirus, he still only has to keep 30 days before the Beis Din is going to pay attention to him. So, Dayo Shloshim Yom. But anyway, everybody agrees, the Tanakama, Rabbi Yossi, they all agree, you certainly cannot begin counting your Naziris from the day that you made the Neder. You're going to have to make up either all of that time according to Tanakama or some of that time according to Rabbi Yossi, but you certainly could not say what it says in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says you count the Naziris from the day you made the Naziris, and it doesn't matter that you've been drinking wine and so on. So who is the author of this Mishnah that says that you can actually start from the beginning? It doesn't fit. I mean, if the Mishnah is going Alibi Rabbana, so then the whole thing makes no sense, because there's no case where you could say that you would use the days from the beginning of your Naziris. So the Rabbana, for sure it can't be. According to Rabbi Yossi, you could fetch, you know, well, you could say that Aliba Rabbi Yossi, it's not talking about over here in the Mishnah of 30 days Naziris. 100%, that's true. Rabbi Yossi would never have said that you could start counting from the day that you made the Naziris, because you have to redo the whole Naziris. But our Mishnah, maybe it's talking about a long-term Naziris, in which case only 30 days are not going to be applicable. But when it says you can count the Naziris from the beginning, I mean, it's true. You can certainly count some of that Naziris, maybe 20 years of that Naziris. I don't know, whatever it was. But at least according to Rabbi Yossi, we could make some sense in the Mishnah that there is a period of Naziris that you would be able to count. But assuming that that's not the case in the Mishnah, why would it be? I mean, normally when we talk about Naziris, we talk about a regular Naziris. So a standard Naziris doesn't work out according to Rabbi Yossi either. So then the kasha Naziris Mu'etet, albeit we could kvetch that the Mishnah is talking about a Naziris Merubah, it means some of the time, but I mean, that's not really reasonable. It's talking across the board, whether it was Mu'etet, whether it was Merubah, and therefore it doesn't make sense. Not that it should be a Mishnah stated by Rabbi Yossi, and not that it should be a Mishnah stated by the Rabbanan. So how do we explain it? I can explain it according to anybody. This is not much of a challenge to me. Ibaitema, you could say that it's Rabbiosi. And if you like, you could say it's Rabbanan. I'll explain to you how, you know. You could say that Aliba de Rabbiosi, that the Mishnah is talking about a Naziris Merubah, like we said, and that therefore the amount of time that the Mishnah is saying that you can count from the time of the Naziris, it doesn't mean the whole time. It means 10 years minus 30 days. But basically, you're counting 99% of the time, let's say, right? So according to Rabbi Yossi, I could sort of say that's what the Mishnah is talking about. And if it's going according to Rabbanan, we suggested this possibility. In reading the Mishnah, which is the way that actually some end up paskening that, but this is how to read the Mishnah, but and Amazbe the Mishnah, but it's a very kvetchy pshat. And so if you want to, you can kvetch that the Mishnah goes according to the Rabbanan. And even though the Mishnah says Misha Ash and Nazar, it doesn't mean that you count the time Misha Ash and Nazar. It means Ki Misha Ash and Nazar. In other words, you're gonna have to count the Naziris like the amount of time from the time you made the neder until the time that you discovered that you have to start keeping the neder. Okay, so not what the Mishnah seems to be saying, but you don't have to conclude that it's not going Aliba de Chachamim. Okay, so let's move on. And basically, I mean, as you could explain the pashtus of the Mishnah, of course, is that the Mishnah is simply saying, which is a simple way that the Rambam ends up using the Mishnah is saying, Mi'ikar Adin, that's true. And then we have this Knas de Rabbanan, which we only find out, which we only find out, El-Roi, help. Yeah, okay. Which we only find out later, the Braisa, that there is a Takana de Rabbanan that says, yeah, that's the Ikar Adin, but you can't rely on that because you're going to actually have to go ahead and keep those days. Okay, now the next part of the Mishnah is very fascinating because we know that the discussion in the Mishnah is not a serious discussion. In other words, as we explained before, Beit Shammai is playing games with Beit Hillel. And they're saying, okay, I mean, let's assume that you're right, even though you don't know what you're talking about, because this has nothing to do with the topic at all. All right, but anyway, how could you deny that Hekdesh Tos have an Hekdesh? But that's not what's really the point, because the truth is, of course, that Beit Shammai does agree that in the case of the Mishnah, it's absolutely true that he is not going to have to worry about those korbanos that he made, but it goes beyond the concept of Hekdesh Tohut. It actually turns out that what it was that he said was wrong. He didn't make the neder properly. So he didn't make the neder properly. So there never was an Aziris. There never was an Aziris in the first place. That's the same thing as Hekdesh Ta'ud. And therefore, he couldn't make a korban Aziris. Now, what's interesting is, says Rabbi Yirmiyah, the same idea that is at the root of what's really going on here in terms of Beit Shammai teaches us something important that's Nogela Halacha, because we pass it like Beit Hillel. Because remember that Beit Hillel agreed completely that when it comes to Tumura, remember that's how we understood the Machlokas yesterday. Are we Yafinan the Tchilas Sekdesh be Sof Hekdesh or not? But we know Sof Hekdesh with Tumura that HaKadosh Baruch Hu explained to us that the din is that even if it was a ta'ut and you had in mind to make a different tumura, that nonetheless, that's the halacha, both of them are tumura, right? And we saw that as being a fundamental insight into the relationship of the state of the zeros, which is imposed upon you once you enter it, and the halacha of the kedusha of the specifically tumura, where it's imposed upon you, whatever it was that you thought you were doing makes no difference. Just like Naziris is. But meanwhile, we see that even Beit Shammai, who in fact holds that, is made that in a case where there was a fundamental problem in the beginning, and there never had been a Naziris, that of course that's not included in the concept of Hekdesh Ta'ut. Well, the same thing should be true, therefore, in terms of Tumura, according to Beit Hillel. It's sort of obvious what I'm pointing out to you, but look, a guy comes along and he says, see this korban olah? Well, I want this chulin animal to take its place. So let me change the kedusha on the olah and it should now go on this chulin animal. Okay, so the Torah says both of them in that event are kodesh. V'ayahu utmurato yiyeh kodesh. And we learned that yiyeh means even if it was in error. Now, suppose the guy goes and he does the same thing to the hegdesh that this nazir did to his naziris. He goes, finds a chacham. This guy was shoyal on his naziris, and it turns out it was not shoyal on his naziris, shoyal about his naziris. It turns out it wasn't a naziris at all, right? So in that case, says Beit Shammai, well, I mean, obviously that's not hegdesh b'taut. That's hegdesh using a non-extant naziris. Well, according to Beit Hillel, who agree that even in the event that you would be shayel on a neder, so you would undo that neder completely. Now, normally, of course, Beit Shammai is made to that in the case of Hegdesh. It's just the machlokas was only legabe, specifically the zeros. Okay, you can't be shayel on Hegdesh per se. You could be shayel on a konam. But what if you were shayel on Hegdesh per se? So according to Beit Hillel, you could be shayel on the Hegdesh, right? And you could say, I made a mistake when I made the original carbon oil. I made it an oil. It was in error. So whatever it was, the Chacham finds the Petach, or Yotam Yad Charot, or whatever the case was. We were matir, the Kedusha of the original oil. What happens to the Tmura? Well, the Kedusha of the Tmura in that case is the precise equivalent in Beit Hillel's world as the Kedusha of the carbon for Naziris is in the case where his Naziris wasn't a Naziris in the Beit Shammai world. Beit Shammai says, well, of course, if there never was a Naziris, then you can't make the carbon Nazir. That's not a Hegdesh B'taut. You're simply not empowered to do that because there's no Nazirut. Fine, so by the same token, Beit Hillel, who holds that there is a She'ela on the Etzem Hegdesh, if you took away the original Kedusha upon which the Tmura was built, you can't make a Tmura, obviously. That's nothing to do with whether it was Pivoli Boshavin or whether it was Bishogeg or not. There just was not a carbon there for you to make a Tmura on. So if you thought that a particular animal is Hegdesh, you know, you walk over to one of those beautiful cows, of course it's made out of stone and it's a statue at the entranceway to the building, and you say, Arezut Murezu, I mean, what's going to happen? Absolutely nothing. So that's exactly what's going on. So according to Beit Hillel, it's the same thing, and that's all that I want to point out. That, look, the point is, says Rabbi Yirmiyah, you can learn out from Beit Shammai, and a rather obvious point of Beit Hillel. Isn't it true that even though Beit Shammai hold that Hegdesh B'ta'ut is nonetheless Hegdesh, he agrees in this case it's not, because given the Gloy Milta Lalav Shapir Nazir, if it turns out that he never was a Nazir, that's not the equivalent of Hegdesh B'ta'ut, and the Behema should be completely cool, and it goes out, and it's Tir Ebe Eder. Well, by the same token, in Beit Hillel's reality, the Beit Hillel Nami, Afagav Damri Tumura B'ta'ut Avi Tumura, and he agrees with Beit Shammai in the juxtaposed case of Tmura to the case of Nazir. But in the event that he made a Tmura B'ta'ut, it would be a Tmura, but that's only if the Iker Hegdesh was not a mistake. If the Iker Hegdesh, Hecha Te'itala Iker Hegdesh, that's still there, then the Tmura you can't get out of. But suppose you go and you Oker the Iker, you undo the original Hegdesh on the famous Hegdesh Le'ola, supposed Le'ola, and you would use to make the Tmura, and now that supposed oila turns out was never an oila. So then obviously there was no Tmura either. It's Akar Nami Tmura, and that's the same point. Omar, let's go on to the discussion about the mistake that you made with your magic painting rod. All right, so what did you do? So it says over there, Benogea Ma'aser. So now, Omar, was sort of playing this game with Beit Hillel. Well, you know Hegdesh B'ta'ut is Hegdesh. We can learn that out from Meiser. Now, there's actually Machlokes Benogea Meiser, Itma. When it comes to Maaser, Reb Nachman says, listen, this whole halacha of Kol Asher Yavor Tachat HaShevet is only, and this is fascinating, because it's the exact opposite of what we've been talking about until now, of Hegdesh B'ta'ut. And the machlokes of whether Hegdesh B'ta'ut is Hegdesh. says Reb Nachman, when the Torah says that if you call number 910, and you do this whole shtuyot of getting mixed up, and then you call number 10, number 9, and then you call number 11, number 10, because you called number 10, 9, that's only if, in fact, you really made a mistake. I mean, this was Batom Lev, you know, you're a confused kind of guy. So, okay, so if number 9 is 10, then number 10 is 9, and so on. Okay, so if you make that mistake, so then the Torah says, so for people who are not really fully present, so then the halakha is that your magic painting wand actually creates all of them. But suppose a guy, Bedafka, does that, you know, and he knows perfectly well that this number 9 is not number 10, then he calls it number 10 anyway, and then he tries to switch it because he figures he'll get the cheaper animal as number 9, that'll be 10, and that way he will get away with getting a crummy animal. I mean, I didn't say which one should come out of the door. I just called it number 10 when it was really number 9. If you do that, then love potion number 9, nothing happens. Because in that case, the Torah did not give you the right to play these kind of games. It's only when you're confused. So it's only your ta'ut, not your kavanah. And if you did this on purpose, then the whole halakha doesn't take place. Rav Chisda and Rabbi Bar Avuna say, no, no. I mean, if by accident that's true, isn't it obvious that it's true if you do it on purpose? Since, I mean, on purpose, it's much easier to create Egdish than it is by accident. Okay, so it should work perfectly well either way. So Rav Atainis to Rav Nachman, excuse me, Rav Nachman, but according to the way you're learning, the whole thing falls apart. Because Amar Le Rav Le Nachman L'Didach, according to you, who claim that this halacha is a halacha that is defined only if somebody makes an honest mistake, like this, 9 is 10, and 10 is 9, and 11 is 10, whatever. But if he had done it purposefully, then it never would have had any kind of bearing on halacha. So then, isn't there an obvious comeback from Beit Hillel to Beit Shammai? I mean, when Beit Shammai comes and attacks Beit Hillel and says, well, you must agree, do you not? She'ilu kara l'tashi asiri, ula asiri tashi, ula chadas asiri. You agree also, based on the pasuk of Kol Asher Yavor Tachat HaShevet, that all three of them are Kodesh. Okay? Now, Beit Hillel had no response to that. I mean, the response that Beit Hillel had was a different issue. Well, I mean, if this is really meant to be an overall ruling that Hegdash Ta'ut is Hegdash, and it's because you use your magic painting wand, so why wouldn't it work with number 8 and 12? Why does it only work with number 9 and 11? Fine. But did they really need to say that? According to you, they should simply have stared down Beit Shammai and says, what the heck are you talking about? Over there, it's only because he made an honest mistake. It's not, I mean, this has something to do with learning about Hegdash? The guy didn't know what he was saying. He thought that number 9 was number 10. That's part of normal Hegdash. Normal Hegdash is that you could certainly make something Hegdash if you would make it Hegdash even by accident. So for you to bring a riot, that so, you see, it was an accident, it was a mistake, and nonetheless it's Hegdash, Beis Hillel should have thrown it back in their faces. What do you mean, nonetheless it's Hegdash? That's the only time it's Hegdash. So obviously it's an abnormal halacha, and it must be based on a gzirat ha-katuv, out of which you cannot learn anything. That's what they should have said, Reb Nachman. Why didn't they just say that? Why were they quiet? Not literally quiet, but why were they quiet about the basic question when the basic question made no sense? Ishtiku Beit Hillel, they just shut up about this point? Lame Ralohon, they should have said, well, Beit Shammai, don't you know, Reb Nachman's pshat, after all, the reason that this is unique is because you can't make it Kodesh B'Kavona, you can only make it Kodesh by accident. Beg and tell me, give me another example of Hegdash that you can only make Hegdash by accident, okay? And then you take that crazy case and you say, well, so you see, if you make Hegdash by accident, that it's okay. It's ridiculous. You can only make it Hegdash by accident. I'm Reb Shimi Barashi because I'll tell you, it's not that it would have been an invalid argument. It's just that Beit Hillel does not want to get into an endless series of nonsensical discussions with Beit Shammai. Because, look, I know what they're going to say. But what are they going to say? They're going to say, I know time it'll amri lohun. The reason I don't say that to Beit Shammai is because they're going to say, well, on the contrary, it's a kal vachomer. I mean, if maaser, that you cannot even make it kodesh if you want to, is kodesh if you don't want to, it's so koshikain. Things that you can make kodesh if you do want to are certainly going to become kodesh when you make a mistake and you don't want to. I know that is what they're going to say. I mean, that's ridiculous, though, isn't it? I mean, it says Reb Shimi. Of course, it's ridiculous. I'm not saying that this is a serious point. It's not a serious point. It's just that Beit Hillel doesn't want to get involved. That's all, because I know that's what they're going to say. And then I'm going to have to explain why that itself is nonsensical. I mean, how long am I going to keep going like this? They're playing games with me. So fine, so I'll just go to the bottom line. The bottom line is that obviously if it doesn't work for 8 and 12, so then the fact that it works for 9 and 11 can't be used as any kind of limud. That's the point. So, Velohi, I want to just explain to you, says Rav Shimi, of course, this isn't serious, because, I mean, the point is that Beit Shammai, it could simply be attacked by the fact that this is a complete anomaly. That's the point. It's not that it's kal vachomer, not kal vachomer. It's anomalous and therefore can't be used as the basis, because all over, Hegdish is dependent bedafka on Daita Namore. It's dafka the other way around. The Hegdish is dependent on what it is that the person wants to do. So how can you go ahead and bring me a raya from a case where it's specifically not dependent? That's still true. So why aren't you back to the question? You are back to the question. And the answer to the question is that I don't want to get involved with Beit Shammai any further. You know, it's like an incredible medrash about HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe after the 7 days of arguing, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry and says, okay, that's it. Your brother's waiting for you. Get the heck out of here and go do what you got to do, right? So the medrash says, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes up with the final attack, okay, fine. But you know what? What the heck? Shlach nobi at the shlach. Just send it with somebody else. That's all I really wanted. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, for 7 days, you have been sitting here and arguing with me when all along you knew perfectly well that no argument was going to help, because the bottom line always is shlach na biyat tishlach. So can you tell me why you have spent the past 7 days arguing? I'll tell you why. Because you're having fun having an argument with me, and you're keeping HaKadosh Baruch Hu around for 7 days discussing it. Well, I'm finished. Okay. That's a beautiful medrash. So basically, Reb Shimi says, that's exactly what's going on. Basically, also says, listen, enough is enough. That's the bottom line. Now, obviously, we could have had lots more of these 7 days conversation, but is finished. And this brings us to our newly appointed beer maker, who has just opened up his new store of Richie's Beer out on Richie's Island. We wish him a lot of hatzlocha. And why don't you give us an introduction now with one of your bottles? Give us an introduction to this new mission.
Zuk de helika mishnah.
Oh boy. Mishnah dar benazir. So let's imagine a case like this. The guy makes a neder on the zeros, and he has everything worked out, this guy. He had set aside his karbanas, and his wife's been screaming at him, don't give us this nazir jazz. You know what it's going to cost you to get out of this zeros? We can't afford those animals. So fine, the guy's saved up for 3 years. He's finally got all of his behemoths put together in the garage. His wife starts yelling at him. He says, don't worry, honey bunch. I already have all of my karbanas ready. So he makes his naziras. He goes to bring the animals out of the garage. And guess what? The garage has been broken into. All of his animals are gone. Oh, my God. He is in serious hot water. So what's the din over there? Does that mean that the nazirut was a mistake and that there was no nazirut? Well, It depends. Im achlo nignava ben to nazar hareza nazir. If he had made the naziris at the time that the animals were still safely in the garage, the fact that they were stolen later, that is called nolad, remember? Ein potrin benolad. So you can't say, oh, I never would have made the neder if I would have known that my animals were going to be stolen. What do you mean, were going to be stolen? How would you know that your animals were going to be stolen? So it doesn't matter, because you couldn't have known anyway, so how would it have affected your naziris? So therefore, I raise a nazir. But if it turns out that at the time that he made the naziris, there was already a police report that that garage had been broken into and that those animals had been stolen, then it was a serious mistake. I thought, honey bench, that I had all my animals in the garage, but they weren't really there. Okay, so then in that case, that's not nolad. That's a real mistake. So im mishinigdavap emto nazar, so then ain't no nazir. This distinction between when the event happened was a serious historical error that was made by Nachum HaMadai. Because at the time of the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, which was during the years of Nachum HaMadai, a bunch of the Zirim were coming up from Bavel, and they find the Beis HaMikdash in ruins. So what are they going to do? They're now going to be in a Zirim for the rest of their lives because they have no way of bringing their Korbanas. This is a disaster. So Nachum HaMadai tells them, "Ilo hayitim yodim shebeit hamikdash charev, hayitim gozrim." Would you have ever made an aziris had you known that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? And they said, "Of course not. What do you think, we want to be nazir for our whole lives?" Amru lo lo. So Nachum HaMadai said, "Okay, so then mutar lachem, you're no longer nazir." And then kishabad davar etzel hachamim amru. When the Chachomim found out about this heter that Nachum HaMadai gave them, they said, that's a mistake. You have to find out at what point they had accepted the Naziris. If they had accepted the Naziris before the Beit HaMikdash had been destroyed, so then how were they supposed to know that the Beit HaMikdash would be destroyed? So then that's Potrim Benolat. And you can't do that. It's only if they made the Naziris not having received the news in Bavel that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and then they discover that it had been destroyed at the time. That's exactly like our case about the animals that were stolen from the garage. Only then would the Pticha of Nachum HaMadai work, because then it wouldn't have been Benoilat. So Koshin Azarat Shalokharav Beit HaMikdash, he's still a Nazir. Only those where the Naziris was made after the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, they, and only they, are not Naziris. Oh, my Rabbah, you know, says Rabbah, sometimes you can blow someone away. Well, the Rabbanan blew away Rabbi Eliezer, and they brought him into their own Shita, because normally Rabbi Eliezer's Shita is Potrim Benolad. Now, we know that Rabbi Eliezer was right there, together with Nachum HaMadai. How do we know that? We know that because Rabbi Eliezer was the one who was holding the mita of the supposedly dead Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai when they pretended that he was dead, and they got him out to negotiate the whole series of Yavna and so on, and Barnea's neighborhood, and everything. All of our tzoras go back to that moment, you know, where Barnea's neighborhood was created. So at that point, it was Rebbe Eliezer that was holding the mita. So obviously he was there, okay? So he said nothing about this. Well, how do you explain that? If we have an older Mishnah, in which it says, that tonight we had this in the Dorim, that basically Rebbe Eliezer ends up saying, Potrin Benolat. You can use Nolat as a Pticha for a Neder. And over here, the Chachomim Osrin, but over here, do we find Rebbe Eliezer saying a word? No. Rebbe Eliezer seems to be perfectly at ease with the fact that his colleague, Nachum HaMadai, is being attacked by the Chachamim because Ein Potrim Benolad. Well, he should have said, I hold Potrim Benolad. So whatever he did was absolutely correct. Why are you guys hassling Nachum HaMadai? You see that they blew him away? And they actually flooded him out, so to speak, shitafu. And we use that word shitafu today in modern Hebrew for brainwashing. You know, you shitafu is you. They ended up brainwashing him to come over into their side of the story of Ein Potrim Benola. Oh, my Rabbi, this is amazing. And we're waiting now until all of these, the end of Nedarim, halfway through Nazir, and suddenly we discover that there's a different element of Nolad that would work perfectly well, even if you hold Ein Potrin B'Nolad, which is absolutely stunning. So Rava says, well, it's true that you cannot be Potrin B'Nolad, but you can be Poteach on a Tznai based on Nolad. The word Tznai doesn't really mean Tznai. It means on an understanding of an innate condition. So what are you talking about? Well, look, let's imagine a case like this, okay? You are making a Naziris based on the fact that the market value of your shares in such and such a company are easily worth enough to cover the carbonus, right? So, okay, so you based it on that. Now, the market collapses, okay? And your shares are suddenly worthless. So now, this is classical Nolad, right? So if we're going to come and we're going to say, oh, if I had known that the market would collapse, I never would have made myself a Nazir. That's this case as well. But suppose somebody would have come to you and would have said, my dear friend, you got to be crazy to ever believe that market for anything. The whole thing is a house of cards. At any moment, the market could collapse. Don't make that Nazir. So if you go to the guy and you said, suppose your friend had whispered in your ear at that time, what are you, nuts? You're relying on the market? Oh, yeah, you're right. You got to be crazy. I don't really believe in the market. It's all paper money. Okay, so then it's all virtual. No, I wouldn't. If somebody had reminded me at the time, so then I never would have made the nether. Now, is that called Potrin Benolad? Of course not. What's the difference why it is that the person would not have made the neder? It wasn't based on the event. It was based on the potentiality of the event. That's all. Therefore, if somebody would have come over to you, let's say if Nochem HaModai would have said to them, suppose a friend would have come over to you and would have said, you know, you shouldn't risk becoming a Nazir because the situation is really bad. I mean, we Jews are up the creek. At any moment, the Beis HaMikdash could be destroyed. And what's going to happen to your Naziris if you do that? You're going to be a Nazir for your whole life. You sure you want to make a Naziris? Yeah, I guess you're right. That wouldn't be called Potrin B'Nolad, correct? Okay, so that's basically what Rava is saying. So if at that time, now, this is the Rosh's explanation. It's the most clear-cut explanation. The Shulchan Aruch paskins this in a very strange way. The psak in the Shulchan Aruch about Rava, the way that he translates it is that if somebody would have come to you and lied and would have said the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, would you have dismissed that as outright insanity? No. You would have said, oh my gosh, I knew it was going to happen one day. That's what you would have said. And if they came to you and said the markets have collapsed, oh heck, I knew that was going to happen. That would be your reaction, right? So then that means that it isn't really Nolad. Okay. But anyway, so, but as you can see, the Rush makes a completely different meaning out of this. And that it has nothing to do with whether the event occurred or didn't occur. It only has to do with your level of awareness of potential. Okay. So now that would be the case. So ilu ata Inish, the Amar Lachon, the Charav Beit HaMikdash, which according to the Shulchan Aruch means literally, it is destroyed. According to the Rosh means the Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. Me having that return. So, are you saying basically that before the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, that no one thought it was going to be destroyed? And that this would be Nolad? And that if a guy would have lied to you, even the way the Shulchan Aruch is learning, if the guy would have lied to you and would have said to you, the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, The reaction would have been, "You're crazy. False news. Is that true?" I mean, I'm Rav Yosef. I could tell you, man, if I would have been there when they were fighting against the heter that Nochem Amodai gave, I would have said to them, "Noilat, Noilat, what are you, crazy? Yirmiyahu HaNavi has been shouting about this for years, and you're saying, Noilat, who would ever think such a crazy thing? The Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. Who would ever think? I don't understand. What else would you think? Didn't it say in the Pasuk, Eichel Hashem, Eichel Hashem, Eichel Hashem?" That's the Lashon in Yirmiyahu, in which it's clear that there's not going to be one Beis HaMikdash lost. There's going to be two Beis HaMikdashes lost until we get to finally a real Eichel Hashem. I even talk about a Eichel Hashem unless I say it three times. Ze Mikdash Rishon, U'Mikdash Sheni, that are going to be destroyed. Okay, so what? So you know it's going to be destroyed, you know? So you know the Mashiach's going to be coming. So you know the date? You know that you're going to be basing a neder on this? What does that have to do with it? I mean, you know it's going to be destroyed. Fine. But you don't know when. So the psychology is some other time, right? It's always like that. But you know the market's going to crash. Yeah, but some other time. You know that you're going to die. Yeah, but some other time. That's like, right? That's that beautiful poem. I always knew I'd be walking down this road someday. I just never thought that someday would be today. Exactly. So if that's the point, then it's always going to be Noilat, because psychologically, it's always Noilat. Oh, Rabbi, wait a second over here. I think they even knew when the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed, because anybody who reads the Neil knows the date. It says, V'lo yadina le'imat, you're saying they didn't know when it would be destroyed. V'haktiv, doesn't it say in the Neil b'feirish that shivu'im shiv'im neftach alamcha v'al ir kodshecha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decreed 77s. What does 77s mean? It means basically you've got four, okay, kids, you got 490 years till the next Korban. Start counting. Okay, that's exactly what happened. So you had 70 years of Galus, 420 years of the Bayit Sheni. Okay, your 490 years are up, and we're now concluding the Korban with the Korban of the Bayit Sheni. That's as much good as you guys did with that building for five centuries. You did nothing with it. Okay. So that if that's the case, they even knew the year. Says Abaya. Yeah, says the Gemara, but did they know the day? So if they didn't know the day, I mean, okay, but it's not today, right? So if it's not today, I can still bring my Nesiris. There'll always be enough time. It's an amazing insight into the psychology of Noilat, but there's always going to be enough time, even though you know that that can't go on forever, but not today. So, but the Mela, that itself becomes Noilat. Astonishing.